Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4 through 19. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. But we are his house. We hold out for our courage and the hope of which we boast. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for the 40 years, saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. For I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brother, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened in your sins of deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose body fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. No, I think that's just amazing. I just want to share a little bit about this crazy week that I had. Normally, when I prepare sermons, I kind of go through the week, think about it, and then, I usually come up with a title for it, and then name the passage for it right around Wednesday. And then around, Wednesday, I open up notepad and then start taking notes, things come into my mind, and, start putting verses together, and then, and then ask God, all right, where are you going to go from here, and, pray for it, and things like that. And then, here's what I do, at work, I have a work computer, right? And then, for my school, I have, a little netbook, and then, at home, I have a laptop. And then, normally, I put them all together, I just extract it on, Saturday, and then put it together, and then put it in order, and things like that. Guess what happened this week? So I left work on Friday, and then I shut down the computer. I normally just check back on every 12 o'clock, and this program that way, so I could always connect to my computer at work and then get it. Normally I don't trust it, normally I upload it to myself, email it to myself, so that way I make sure I have the passage. But then this week I forgot about it. Alright, so then I tried to connect to my work computer, it wouldn't let me connect. So I'm like, oh shoot, that's why I half my message there, because I take notes during work and then things come to mind. Alright, and then, okay, that's fine. So yesterday I was thinking maybe I should go to work. I got home at 11:30 last night because I went to visit my family. Alright, then alright, maybe I should go. Alright, let's not go. Maybe I can just put it together this time. And then, so I started typing what I had in my mind, in the evening, thinking maybe I could put something back, because I have something in my head. I type it all up, all ready to go, and then my son, he comes with a bottle of water, pours it on my laptop, and then my laptop just died. So now I have no sermon. I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I have nothing. I wake up this morning thinking, it's okay, it's just water. Usually laptop, if you leave it for 3-4 days and water dries up, then usually it works okay. So I'm thinking, alright, no problem. Maybe tomorrow morning, or today morning, I'll turn it on. At least yesterday, it kind of powered on and gave me the blue screen of death. But then this time, I pushed the power button, poof. Then I said, this is spiritual warfare. This is why, if you guys have been following my Twitters, you see it online on our website, but if you guys have been following my Twitters, I see these signs of God trying to do something wonderful through our ministry, in our generation, really. In our generation, I really feel it. And even in our church, even in our Korean service, I feel God is doing something. And then when God does things, God, is preparing to do something amazing, there's a spiritual warfare. He wants to knock down all the leaders. And that's why I was saying, this morning I got up, I was like, all right, now what? Initially that was my intent. I was thinking, you know, now what do I do? Now I'm thinking, you know what? I don't need a, you know, who cares about those notes? Maybe God will talk. And so I have some things in my mind, so I kind of put all these things together in my sermon. You guys have the sermon notes that I'm going to be talking out of. So, you guys can follow along. And I initially intended to have like some music, of course, the fountain some dead, right? I intended to, you know, have like a easel with some whiteboard, but I couldn't find any whiteboard. So, you know, basic, very basic, but you know, I think God can touch your heart. Alright, so have that expectant heart, you know, hear the word of God. Alright, so I titled today's message, Decision Points in the Life of Grace. What is that about? Decision points. In our lives, we all have to answer these yes or no questions. I mean, you know, we kind of process so quickly that we don't realize that we have all these yes, no's. But, you know, when we're picking out clothes, what to wear, right? It's a yes, yes, no, 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 no. Yes, maybe, well, yes, no, hold on to this, yes, no, yes, and then you pick, you know, you choose, right? All these yes, no decisions in our mind. And I was thinking, I don't know if you could hear this, because I was trying to record on my cell phone again, but flowcharts. Have you guys heard of flowcharts? Well, it's used in many like computer programming, like you know how things go, yes, no. It's also done in like business workflows, things like that. Anyway, I tried to draw out, which of course I don't have because it's at work. I want to hand it out to you guys. I tried to come up with a way of saying, this is how we became a Christian. And let me try to draw it out. Let me see if I can do this, alright? You start here. Alright, you're just an agnostic, you don't know if God exists, right? This is a circle where you start, the starting point. And then you go down to a triangle where it asks you a question. Do you believe God exists? And then if you have a, well, let me go to the yes in a bit, no, then, okay, then you don't believe in, you know, there's no point of you coming to church. Because if you don't believe in a God, if you don't believe there's a being that exists, a God, then there's, you know, okay. Fine, you know, then there's no point of you serving in the church. But if you're agnostic, if the answer goes, yes, maybe I believe there is a God, then the square, which is the process, you start saying, let me learn about God in the church. Let me learn about this God of the Bible. Okay, so you keep doing that. And then the next arrow goes, it's another triangle where you ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus has saved you from your sins? No, then it goes back to the square. You gotta learn a little more or something, I don't know. So yes, I do believe Jesus is my savior. Then the next question becomes, do you believe God is your Lord? And then no, then you know, go back to, you know, learn a little more or go back to I don't know if there's a God. And then if you accept that Jesus is your Lord, yes, then it ends, then you're a Christian. Now I was just thinking in that logical way, you know, I don't know if it's helpful that I just explained it to you, but I just wanted to show you there's all these yes and no's in our lives in everything we do. Okay? Alright, so in America, many people feel that we don't need God. Think about that one. Many people believe we don't need God. And what I learned about third world countries, all the poor countries, you know, there are people that are starving to death, that are hungry, that are being oppressed by their government. Do you know about those people? You know those people love God. There's revival being happening all over the place over there. In America, churches are declining. People don't feel the need for God. Think about it. Do you guys know where you're, you know, where you're gonna have dinner? You know, where you're gonna get the money for dinner, or where you're gonna get the food for dinner tonight? I think most of us could say, yeah, you know, probably. Probably in my fridge. Probably just grab it. Right? And do you guys know what you will do, I don't know, in terms of job, or I don't know, what you will do tonight or tomorrow? I mean, we probably could say yes. But all these other countries, they feel a need for God. Why? Because they recognize that they don't have that freedom that we have. So, in America, we feel like we got all these things under control. I know exactly what I'm gonna do, so I don't need God. But the other countries, they don't even know where to get their food. They're starving, they have sickness, they have disease, and they have no doctor. There is no medicine there. They can't afford medicine. So then, people are coming to God. People are seeing healing, people are seeing the Holy Spirit, you know, God, you know, doing things in their lives. Whereas in America, we don't really see much of that. It's kind of like, let's just kind of go to church and, you know, you know, some, well, there's some people, and people say, I don't want to go to church, I don't need God, you know, I don't even know if God's real. So, America, when it started out, you know, when Columbus came and all that, I was surprised because my one of my professors started talking about it. You know, did you know they came with a Bible saying, we want to tell people about the Bible. Right? They come to this new land, they carry their Bible. You guys know that's how the Thanksgiving started, right? The pilgrims or whatever. But, so they came with the Bible thinking, you know, we could have freedom in religion, believe in God. We're supposed to be a God-loving country. And then what did they do to the Indians? I was like, whatever, you know, we don't need you. But you see, America was a God-loving country. You know, the churches like maybe 200 years ago, 100 years ago, it's packed. People would come. You know, but then America became arrogant. And I think you guys know where I'm getting at. America, the people in America became arrogant. And they believed they had everything they need. So then there's no longer need for God. That's why people not believe God. You know, God. The Old Testament. If you read through the Old Testament, you know, I think we got so much to learn from the Jewish people because they know the Old Testament really well. We as Christians, you know, we say, yeah, we gotta hold on to the New Testament, you know, whatnot. But really, the Old Testament really talks about the heart of God. And the heart of God is that He really wants to partner with us in our lives. It's not like, you know, He doesn't want to be from far, you know, David, I want you to give me a call. You know, it's not, that's not how it works. You see, God wants to partner with us in our lives. And what that means is, what that means is he wants to be with us in our every step of our lives. And God does. You know, just kind of like, you know, Noah and I are really good friends, right? And you know, when I have a problem, Noah comes to me and, you know, he helps me. You know, when Noah has some questions in his life, I'm like, you know, what do you think about this? You know, I try to encourage him in any way. I think that's what God wants to do in our lives. And you know, I did mention that Jewish people, they were there to keep us, right? We have yarmulkes. You guys know what they are? I asked a Jewish guy what that is, and he said he believes that God is always with them, is always over them, always walking beside me. And I think that's what God really wants in us. See, I'm gonna try to draw this diagram, but anyway, God, you know, in our everyday life, there's always that yes-no question that we have, you know, everything we do. I think God kind of like interjects in the middle, you know, Paul, you think, doing the right thing here. You know? Hey, David, you know, do you think maybe this way's a little better? Hey, come on, you know, how about this? You know? And I think we all always do answer to it. And God kind of nudges us. He doesn't like directly say, David, you stop doing that, you know, or Paul, keep doing that. He kind of nudges us, saying, you know, come on, what do you think? He's always giving us the option to choose, but you know, how about this? You know, you think, you know, maybe this is the way you should be doing it. And I know, you know, many times, of course, we say, yeah, I want to know, I could hear God, I want to hear God. Until I hear God, you know, maybe I won't follow. You know, maybe I need to really hear the voice of God. But I think He really talks in many ways. And one of the ways, I mean, sometimes I guess He could, you know, let us hear His voice, right? But many times it's like your inner, you know, inside, like in how you feel, like, you know, maybe I should be doing this, maybe I should be living this way. You know, there's that, you know, maybe there is a God. Where, you know, sometimes I think God sometimes really uses our circumstances, right? I mean, you know, maybe if we were so successful in life, like I was talking about, we don't need God, so therefore we'll never see Him. So sometimes He kind of cuts us, like, you know, says, you know what, I'm going to take away your job. I'm going to take away your source of money. I'm going to take away something just so that you can come to me. And you know, God doesn't want that from you. You know, He doesn't want to take away your money or your job or your career or whatever, your security you had. But He wants to take it away because He wants to stop. Right? Because God, He could store all that back and give you more. But God will take those away just so that you can say, God, you know, you're right. I thought I had it all together, you know, God, you know, I thought if I did this, this, and this, like you said, I thought I would have dinner on my table, I thought I'd have a job, I'd have a source of money, but God sometimes wants to take that away, not because He's mean, God, He wants us to come to Him, because then you'll realize, maybe what I'm doing is not right, you know, maybe you know, maybe we should be doing something else. Right? We've considered about our heart, considered about our eternity. So, you know, for the past few messages, if you recall, you know, I talked about offering. Try to come up with a prayer request that, you know, God could grant you, and then pray about it, maybe God will respond to you that way. No, that's it, because I think that's really the heart of God, that He wants us to come to Him. Trust Him. But that's it, and He could restore everything you had, and more, and more. We gotta go back and trust God. If we don't trust God, do we? God wants us to trust Him. Alright, so I'm gonna try this thing that I'm working on. This is a draft, okay? So if I start speaking heresy here, you know, let me know, we'll figure it out. But here's the picture I kinda drew. Jeez. It's kinda hard to draw on a blank, but my Old Testament professor, he's a master of Hebrew, right? He knows how to read the Old Testament inside out, left side right or whatever, right? And he was saying the Hebrew people back then, you know, how we picture life. Your life as a linear path, like, you know, I will finish high school, finish college, get a job, and then achieve this, achieve that, make lots of money, you know, and then our timeline is a straight line, right? He was saying that Hebrew people saw life as a cyclical thing, a circle. It didn't make sense at first, but I started thinking deeply about it, and maybe this is what God does in our lives. And just try to picture this, okay? Here's a person that's agnostic. And here he doesn't know if there's a God. Right? And then in here, life doesn't go straight. It's actually a circle. I'm still trying to figure this out. Maybe it's like a big circle. Okay? In the first step is that I don't know God. Okay? And God kind of nudges in between those circles as you, you know, keep going in the circle of your life. God kind of nudges, hey, you know, do you want to trust Him? Hey, you know, the thing that you're doing right now, you know, do you think that's really the best thing to do? God really nudges in there in that circle. And then one day in that circle, if you do take God's nudge, you know, God's offer, you know, God's like the attempt to persuade us, we might kind of go over to the next step, which is God reveals Himself to you. Or this is called salvation. You realize, you know, you're not perfect, and then you kind of come here. And then you're still in a circle. You're not really, you know, you're not really somewhere different, but you're still in the circle. And then God is saying, alright, you know, now that you realize maybe that, you know, I died for your sin, so, you know, hey, come on, you know, can you trust me with your life? And this line, you know, that line actually goes on to your sanctification also. So it goes, you know, you accept that Jesus is your Savior, right? And then throughout your whole life, it's called sanctification, where you kind of accept Jesus as Lord. You see, you gotta think about this one, because once you say, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, doesn't mean all the rest of your life you accept Jesus as Lord. Because inside you got these temptations like, I wanna do this my way, right? I mean, just because you become a Christian, right? I mean, you guys all agree with that, right? Just because I became a Christian, I'm not perfect now, right? You still gotta fight that feeling like, I wanna be God and say, God, you're my God. But then I think in this circle still, in our life, God is just saying, come on, will you trust me on this? I know about your relationship problem, or I know about your, like, you know, your career, or you're concerned about, you know, money, or concerned about maybe insurance, you know. But come on, trust me. And then, you know, we get into your yes-no questions, right? And then, I think there's another part, you know, still in the circle though. Once you kind of continue to practice trusting in God, I think there's another part where it goes, God empowers you with His Holy Spirit. And then, of course, you know, when you receive Jesus here, you already received the Holy Spirit. You know, you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit resides in you. But I think there's an empowerment, right? Where if, as you go through this life, and God keeps saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And then you keep, you know, saying, yes, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you, and then you really say it from your heart. I think there's a part where God will say, all right, now I think you're ready. I'm going to empower you to do something amazing. See, this part, it's also called the desert. You guys know about Moses bringing people out of Egypt, right? Let my people go, right? And then all these people, Israelites didn't know about God. No different, right? Israelites didn't know about God. And then Moses said, you know, let's go to this promised land. And then slowly, they learn about God. And you know, they continue to go through the 4 years of whatever, you know, the difficulty and whatnot. They're supposed to have learned to trust God, and he didn't. Of course, only two people made it to the promised land from that original, those are Joshua and Caleb. But, you know what, I think that's like our life, our each of our individual life, and that story. First, I don't know about God. You know, and maybe there's a God, and then you kind of learn in this process, yeah, there might be a God, yeah, okay. And then, you know, and then through that desert, you're trusting God, you know. So why really trusting this God? And sometimes, you know, we build our golden cows like the Israelites did, right? But then, you know, we got to repent, yeah, turn away. And then, I think here is, you know, where God empowers us. And that I will get to in a moment. But, so as our ministry's name is GPS for Jesus, right? God is our GPS. He has a path for us. But you know, I'm thinking it's really a circle. It's not really a straight line. I'm really realizing maybe it is a circle. I'm actually still thinking it as a draft, okay? So you know, don't hold me to it. But and all throughout that life, there's the grace where he nudges us. Come on. Come with me. Come on. Do it this way. You know, what I want to talk about is, I'm no different than you. You know, sometimes, I think, you know, like, we go through church for many, many years, you know, like, you see some adults, right, in churches, they say, yeah, I've been in church for, you know, hundreds of years, not hundreds, but like, you know, many years, 50 years, and I know more about God than you, or, you know, it actually happened in church leadership. Sometimes they say, yeah, I have the vision of God, and I will tell you what to do, and you know, you will follow. You know, there's that arrogance that comes in. But what I realize is, it's just not a straight line. It's a circle. So you and I, we're no different. God kind of nudges in each of our lives and asks us the same questions. Do you trust me? You know, are you going to believe in me? You know, hey, I saved you. I died for your sins. And this is what I'm realizing more and more. I want to talk about this one of my professors. Right? His name is Dr. Wilhorn. He was just telling us though about his testimony about when he got anointed by God to go on to teach and, you know, go on his ministry. And it just reminded me of me, and that's why I want to talk about it. He said, you know, he became a Christian and he loved God, whatever, right? And then he met this pastor, and then this pastor asked him, do you want to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? He said, yes, I do. He said, yeah, I do. And then the pastor said, no, you're not ready. Go away. But he left. I'm like, what the? You know, he's like, I said, I'm ready. Right? And then he did it again. The pastor came to him. Actually, I guess he came to the pastor a week later and said, are you ready for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? And he said, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not ready. Go away. He said it in his own words. I want to punch that guy. But, you know, so he left, right? And then, for the third week or fourth week, he was at this revival. And then there was an altar call. It says, if you feel like you want to be used by God, you know, come down, receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we'll pray for you. He went up. And then, he went to sleep. Of course, he sees the same pastor again. Are you ready to receive the Holy Spirit? This time, it was a little different. Started crying. I mean, he said tears came out of his eyes. He couldn't control. And then the pastor said, "Yeah, you're ready. Receive the Holy Spirit." He prayed for him. And then this is what he explained that really got me connected to how I felt. He was on his knees. He couldn't feel his body. He felt like his head was open, like cut open, like he doesn't know. And then there was like this overflowing of love going into him. And when I heard that, I was just thinking back. When Jesus met me, when I was in 10th grade in high school, I felt that way. And I have no idea how to explain it to you logically, but I met Jesus that way, when I was in 10th grade. And ever since, you know, I love God. But then, of course, I have family problems. I have some issues, you know, between my transition from high school to college. I had broken trust, and I stopped trusting God for a while. But you see, for that 1 year or so, 1 year or 2 year that got to know God, he empowered me. I still remember like how from a person that doesn't know the Bible, for those, I mean, really, Absolutely. I mean, even now, I still feel like it's the Bible that God taught me back in those 1 or 2 years that I'm still kind of carrying on with. It's not like I had any knowledge of the Bible. But, I don't know, for some reason I had an understanding of the Bible. And I remember talking with Jehovah's Witnesses, like these adults who come to my church actually and try to like talk to my peers about, hey, you gotta, you're believing the wrong stuff. I remember talking about them with the Bible and saying, how the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have said two people that are generally ready, they train themselves, they have like a foreman where if these two are having problems, they would bring the foreman in. He's like the knowledgeable Bible guy. They actually had to bring that guy in, while all the adults were pulling my peers away saying, don't listen to those guys. They wouldn't pull me away because they saw me talking against them and telling them, this is the word of God. So, and I was thinking about it. I want that anointing too. I want that anointing. Because I think God could use me in a mighty way, just like He could use all of you. And, so, ever since like college, I think I've been carrying on that grace. He's been like kind of carrying me. I think He's telling me, look, you're in that circle. For so long, I feel like I am yielding to God in many ways. But I think God wants me to, I don't know what He wants me to do yet, but I think He wants to anoint me again. Like He wants to anoint all of you. Just by taking those nudges. God is telling you, come on, come with me, trust in me. I could give you all the things you want in the world. I could give you a better job if you want. Heck, you don't even need a job, I could give you riches. God is nudging you. I'm nudging all of us. We're no different. Even the senior pastor, Pastor John, or anyone here, we're no different. We're all in this circle. We all need God. Of course, in America, we don't feel that way, though. We feel like we have everything we need. So, alright, I'm sorry to be so emotional, but I want to experience God, too. And, I think God's going to do something amazing in this ministry. Join me as a kid. Alright, let's go through the verse and flip it to the back. Because the verse really talks about the many things that it talks about. For every house is built by someone. And what that's talking about is, we start something. We put our efforts into building something, right? But then it's God who builds it. He makes it happen. It could be in your relationship, or it could be your job, your career, your financial kingdom, whatever you want to do. It's God who grows it. So our ministry, we're all going to be part of it, okay? I'm going to ask you guys to be part of it, do something, help us out, whatever. We're going to work hard, but it's going to be God who says it's going to go or no. But really, in the ministry, I got to tell you the secret. God wants our hearts more than anything. Verse 5 says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are His house. If you hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. See, Moses started to, tell the Israelites, this is God, this is the real God, I want you to follow this God. So he started building the people. Right? When we talk about God's house, we're talking about the church, which is us. Okay? So God started building His people. And then Jesus, He continued to build on those people, right? Faithful as the son over God's house. And then He wants us to grow. He wants us to keep building on that house, ourselves, okay? He wants us to grow ourselves. How do we do that? Hold on to the courage and the hope that God has promised us, which means trusting God with everything you have in your life. Recognize our weaknesses. This is something Americans cannot do. Okay, people living in America where we have wealthy family, wealthy parents who could get us stuff. I don't know what you feel confident. Maybe you're great, maybe in your high school or whatever, your grades are so good that you have no worry about your future. Because you're gonna get a good job at the end. But it's not a strength. Listen, it's going the wrong way. It's not a strength. It's actually our weakness. The things that we thought we were good in, those are not really strengths, those are weakness. Those turn us away from trusting God. God is saying, trust in me. No, not God's money. Remember the Baal God, right? The God of money, jobs, career, relationships, friends.
I think that's one of my, I guess, things I need to break down. Intellect, logic, knowledge. You know, I thought, you know, I could do, I can, you know, rationalize all these things out. That's another thing I need to do. Because we can't trust them. Trust me, God. Alright, so verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing your desert. Remember, we're in a circle, okay? Don't harden your heart. God is nudging you, you know, He's partnering with you. You know, if I'm a partner with someone, He doesn't, you know, command me, you know, saying, I want you to, you know, sell that stock. You know, God doesn't command, you know, as a partner, is that a better way? I think this way a little better. Harden your heart. God is trying to teach, tell you what's right. Remember, He's a GPS, right? You see, what was it? As a GPS, you have to see the direction He's giving us, hear the voice, right? And then follow. Right? Remember, that's the whole concept. God wants us to follow. Right? So He's nudging us. So listen, okay? So verse 9. Where your father tested and tried me for, and for 40 years of what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared also my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And again, like, this is what I've been saying all along. You know, if life is cyclical, you know, again, I still haven't proved, you know, haven't thought it through yet, okay, so draft copy. But if it's true, you know, all those nudges of God, I mean, God is nudging you. And then if you kind of, at the end of your life, you say, you know, I don't, I'm God, I can hear myself. Do you still feel that way? I mean, there's that eternal separation from God, which, you know, I guess Christians call heaven and hell, but forget about those terms, heaven and hell, it's just separation from God. God's going to have to reject you, because all this time you've been nudging you and you're rejecting. But that's what God has to say. So, verse 12, see to it, brothers, that none of you who have a sinful and believing heart turn away from the living God. Alright, this is God's message to us, right? So, what I'm asking you to do now is think about all the things you saw were strengths. Those are the things you need to turn away from. This is God's message to us. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. You guys ever feel that? I don't know if you guys are atheists or, you know, some of you are agnostic, you know, I don't know if there's God. But don't you guys sometimes feel like His God is there? He is a living God. And so if you believe there might be a God, you know, maybe you should think about, you know, maybe I should turn away from my sin, my things that I saw for strength, and come to God. God is nudging you. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, jump out of the circle because I'm saying this, but in your circle of life, you know, you keep repeating, that nudge. I don't know what God is saying to you. I think He says something different. He nudges people differently for everyone, right? But no, listen, He is guiding. Verse 13, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I guess here is saying, encourage one another daily. You know, like I was telling you, you know, here's agnostic, right? But here you kind of come to know God, you receive salvation. Tell people about it. You know, you want them to know that, you know, hey, you're no different than me. We all need God. So tell people about it. That's what I say, encourage one another daily. And sometimes, you know, even though, you know, I recognize that I am in the circle too, sometimes I don't feel that way. Sometimes I feel like, you know what? I don't need God. You know, there's like, you know, those feelings like, oh, maybe I don't need God at this time. Maybe I could, you know, do this somewhere else. You know, we all get this feeling, like, you know, we trust God, but then we also sometimes don't trust God. You know what I'm saying? Encourage each other so that way we don't fall into that trap. That faith trap, saying, well, you know, maybe you're not in the circle, you do better than the circle. Hey, you know, if you go, Satan's talking to the other nudge, I guess, right? Satan's saying, oh, you don't have to be in the circle. This is circles for everyone. Most people are in the circle. You know what? I think you could be better by saying, I don't believe in the circle, and I could do better on my own. No, you could be unique. Hey. Another one, right? So encourage one another so that way we do realize that God is our source of trust. He's the one that could do all these things for us. Verse 14, we have come to share in Christ, if you hold firmly till the end, the confidence we have. to reiterate myself, there's no such thing as a strong or experienced Christian. There's no one that can say, I know how the Holy Spirit talks, and you know, therefore, you know, you gotta do what I tell you to do. And God talks to all of us. And you know, God could empower us with the Holy Spirit to maybe see the future or prophesy, the word is prophecy. You could see what the other, what's in the other person's heart. You know, God has, you know, God can do anything, okay? You know, it's just God that could do anything. God is able to do those things. God is able to, through Doha, you know, he could go to you and could say, you know, be healed. You know, God could use people that way. Right? But, you know, we all got to realize that we are no different than you, God. That's the basic crux of our lives. That's the basic crux of the whole Bible. And the Bible, you know, keeps, the story keeps repeating itself, really. I mean, if you, you know, just break everything down, it really talks about how God wants us, and he wants us to realize we're not perfect people, and we need that. And, well, anyway, if you guys have, you know, I could walk you through the details if you like. I could tell you, you know, that's what the whole crux of the Bible. We need God. We're imperfect. We need God. That's what it is. Alright. Yeah, at the end of the spectrum, you know, people who believe they're like strong or experienced Christians, people who say, I don't, you know, that we're not all, but I don't know. But anyway, there's the religious people, right? When you really feel like, you know, I've been going to church, I've been going to like all the morning prayers, I've been going to all the Bible studies, all the small group meetings, I've been a good person in my life. They're the religious people. God doesn't want religion, right? So we gotta be careful, you know, as we go through our lives, as we go through our Christian lives, that we say, I'm no different than the person next to me. Alright. So verse 15, as Pastor says, today you hear the voice of the heart in your heart that you did a rebellion. Were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not those Moses led out of Egypt? So you hear us talking about then these are the people that believed in God. Isn't it? Here's the agnostic. Maybe it's better to be an agnostic. Here's the people who believed in God. These were the Israelites that people that Moses pulled out of Egypt and talked about the word of God, right? He's talking to the Christians, or people who say that they're Christians. They like to put the title on themselves. What religion? I'm a Christian. You know, 80% of the U.S. claim that they're Christians right now. Yeah, but if you look at the churches, you know, you don't see that kind of people. So just be careful. We're not, God is not calling us to religion. He's calling us for a relationship with him. Treat him like, you know, God, he's working with us like a partner, okay? So accept him as that. You know, when he gives you that nudge, maybe listen, you know? And I'll tell you, you know, the ways of prayer, you don't always have to be like, oh, holy, like kneeling down. Complain to God, saying, God, you want me to do this? You know, and talk about it, talk it over with him, you know? You know, God wants to hear you. God wants us to come real as we are. So, yeah, so let's talk about the Christians. Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry with for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned whose body fell in the desert? So for us, let's see God together. Okay? We're all in this together. Okay? I guess, you know, we could say, yeah, we need him because we could go to heaven. But forget that for now. Start from where you are now. In your personal life, in your individual life, where are you? I'm talking about financially or relationship. What are the difficulties you have? Can you put your trust in God for that? Those are the things that God is asking for us to put our trust in him. Verse 18, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest? If not, those who disobeyed. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So God is nudging you right now. Will you believe? Will you kind of, you know, go for the nudge? No, I think many times we kind of want to ignore the nudges because, you know, we feel like I got it together. I know I gotta, you know, just get in my car and maybe go to school, or maybe get in my car, go home, rest, and wake up later, eat. You see, these are the reasons why America, you know, people in America don't need God. Like the third world countries, I find so much more liveliness. No, God is there in other countries. I don't know why there's revivals in other countries, but very little in the U.S. Think about it. You know, though America was started as a Christian country, and you know, this was like the biggest place where the revivals were happening, now the revivals don't really happen here. really happens in third world countries. People are hungry, starving, dying. Think of that aspect. Would you say, I don't have it together?
You know, and all those things in your life right now, I know because of the economy, I know some of you are going through difficulties, right?
All those things, God wants you to see that you don't have your life all together. You know, maybe there's a better way, maybe there's a different thing God wants you to do. He's nudging. What do you think? That's right.
God, you are the mighty God, you are our shepherd. And Lord,
There's nothing else that we need other than you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for some of us that are having hard times finding you. The Lord, that we will first try to put our trust in you. And Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us. Each one of us. And then once you reveal yourself, Lord, I know, because I've met you, Lord, that you will move, work in a powerful way. And Lord, our lives will be changed. So Lord, come meet us, Lord, in our state of confusion, Lord. And Lord, help us to put our trust in you. Let us put down all our arrogance, our strength, our things that we put our strength in, our trust in. Just knock them down. We don't need to trust in this God of money. We don't need to trust in the God of jobs or relationships or whatever it is. Lord, we just need you. Help us to trust in you in our lives. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.